May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and we wave palms.
We will tell the story together of what happened in his last days. As we go through Holy Week, we will participate in the story of Jesus washing his friends' feet as we wash one another's hands. We will tell the story in music and in mourning about his death on the cross. We will gather at Easter Vigil to tell the stories of what God has done to us throughout memory in the past. And we will tell the story of what he has done on Easter Sunday that brings us into a new future. And of course, on Easter Sunday, we will tell the story once again of God's power over death, of the resurrection, of the promise of eternal life. Telling stories is what we do. So I wanted today to begin that journey, to begin to prepare our hearts and minds by telling you a story. This is a story drawn from the Gospel of John. Those handful of sparse words I just read hinting at something amazing that happened. John is much more of a theologian than a storyteller. And so when I read those words, I sit and I imagine, I think, what must it have been like? So I want to tell you a story of what that moment and that time must have been like for Mary, the woman who anoints him and wipes his feet with her hair. I invite you to put on your childlike faith and to listen to a story. We gathered for dinner 6 days before Passover, not long after Jesus raised my brother Lazarus from the dead. It was supposed to be a celebratory dinner. After all, Lazarus had been returned to us. And we had this new evidence that God was with Jesus, that he was God's anointed one, the Messiah we had been waiting for. Judas and some of the other disciples were busy plotting the campaign that they would wage to push the Romans out of Jerusalem for good. This time, they said, we could not fail. God was on our side. And already the people pouring into Jerusalem for the festival of Passover were asking one another and looking for Jesus and saying, where is he? Is he coming for the feast? The excitement was almost something you could touch. But that night at dinner, Jesus was quiet, somber even. Maybe he'd heard the same rumors I had, that the chief priests and the Pharisees had put out word that there was a reward for anyone who would tell them where Jesus was and what he was up to. There was going to be trouble. I knew it. In the days since Lazarus had walked out of his own tomb wrapped in his grave clothes, I'd heard the whispers, seen the looks. It was true that a lot of people believed Jesus was the Messiah now, but not everyone was pleased about it. I heard that the Sanhedrin had been called into emergency session and warned that he was stirring up trouble. And we all knew how the Romans dealt with trouble. No matter how confident his disciples were around them, I couldn't help but feel that Jesus knew something that they didn't. When I looked at him, listening but not talking, watching the disciples with sad eyes, I suspected the truth. Jesus knew that he was going to die. On an impulse, I went and fetched the jar of nard that I had bought after my brother died. I had bought it thinking that with its sweet scent, we might use it to anoint my brother's body for burial. But Martha had been furious cost so much. So instead, we use the traditional and notably less expensive oils. And we put the nard away in a safe spot with the intention of selling it after the time of mourning was over. Coming into the room where our guests still reclined at table, I kept my eyes fixed on Jesus so I wouldn't stop and think about what I was about to do or about how angry Martha was going to be with me. I walked straight up to Jesus and I took that jar of nard and I poured it, all of it, over his feet. That's when I realized my mistake. I hadn't brought anything with me to wipe the extra off. So I reached up and I pulled the pins out of my hair and it cascaded down around me like a curtain. My hair is long, past my waist. So I took it and I used it and I gently wiped Jesus' feet with it, wiping off the extra nard, wiping off the extra oil. For a moment, there was stunned silence in the room. Jesus met my eyes, and his eyes were full and overflowing with surprise and with love. And then all of a sudden, everybody started talking all at once. Judas's voice rose above the others, berating me for my foolishness. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor, he demanded. It was worth a year's wages. To tell you the truth, I never really liked Judas. He was always thinking about himself. I had no doubt that he didn't really care about the poor who might have benefited. If I had sold the nard and given the money to him, I guarantee he would have done something to make himself look good and never once mentioned the woman who had sacrificed to allow that thing to happen. Jesus answered without looking away from me. Leave her alone, he said. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. The disciples didn't seem to know how to respond. There was an embarrassed silence, like when your crazy old uncle says something totally inappropriate and no one wants to correct him because he is, after all, an elder. After a moment, though, Martha stood up and briskly asked if anybody would like some more wine. Conversation went on, a little bit more subdued than before. But looking at Jesus, I knew I was right. There would be no ascension to the throne of David in the days ahead, at least not in the way that the disciples hoped. God was doing something else in Jesus. The next morning, I wept as they left. Already I could hear the crowds further down the road, bustling with excitement, cries of Hosanna, Hosanna, going up. The tears were completely out of place, but I couldn't stop them. Jesus paused before me as he was leaving, the very last person to go. And he placed his hand on my cheek, and he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God has not abandoned us. Be of good hope. Remember what the psalmist has said. Those who sow with tears will weep with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves." And he was gone. I don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe the disciples are right, and God's Messiah has finally come and will finally restore the throne. get rid of the Romans. But I don't think that's what God is doing. I don't think that's what Jesus thinks God is doing. And if that's the case, there's some dark, hard days ahead of us. But surely God, who could make a way through the sea for our ancestors, can make a way for his anointed. I will not lose hope.
I love to tell the story to you.